Hello and welcome back to Whence Came You, a Freemasonic podcast featuring research, papers, and discussions related to Freemasonry. I'm your host, Robert Johnson, a York Rite Mason and Knight Templar. Well, the next few episodes may be short. As I stated in previous episodes, I am super busy for the next few weeks. I have two out-of-town trips plus stated meetings, work, weddings, etc. So a quick reminder to check out the show streaming on our website, wcypodcast.com. And while you're there, please feel free to look at our links to our Android and Apple apps, which also let you listen streaming, but you'll get bonus features, extra content like the papers that we read via PDF and wallpapers for your mobile device. Also, if you want access to the show streaming, but without the bonus features, a good free option is Stitcher Smart Radio, which lets you listen streaming, but we want you to use the promo code WHENCECAMEYOU with no spaces when you register so that they know why you came to Stitcher Smart Radio. And by doing that, they support the show with a $1 donation to offset our hosting charges for files. Please remember to vote for the show until the 18th on the Best in Show on Stitcher. Some people have been voting for us in the educational and learning category, while others are voting for us under the Best New Show. Remember, you can vote once a day and every day until the contest ends. So hop on there and vote for us if you get a moment to do so. This week is an abridged piece from the Knight Templar magazine. It's abridged because there are some things which pertain to degree work in the Knight Templar degrees, which I will not be reading. So here's a piece for you now. Enjoy. The Knight Templar Ritual as a Rite of Passage by the Reverend Sir Knight Frederick A. Shade. The following article has been adapted from a paper presented at the Knight Templar Seminar in Melbourne, Australia on September 29, 2001. By the Reverend Sir Knight Frederick A. Shade. Significant edits have been made. Please note that many references he makes to the ritual of creating a Knight Templar refer not to the process in the United States, but rather to the Victorian Knight Templar ritual. So do not be confused when you read about practices with which you are not familiar. It is thought that you might find the differences interesting, and regardless of those differences, I believe that the comparison of the ritual to a rite of passage you will find to be interesting. The editor. Rites of passage. Modern anthropologists and psychoanalysts have observed that people see the life cycle as a journey from one stage of experience to another. Each individual passes through the stage of birth, puberty, marriage, and death. Each is a critical phase in life and requires special assistance to achieve a successful transition. These several stages have been described as rites of passage, and doubtless you can think of other epochs in your own life which may be so described. The assistance one needs at these critical points in life may be of a physical, emotional, intellectual, or spiritual kind, or, more often than not, a combination of these. These several epochs in life affect every aspect of one's makeup, and as a man is a spiritual being, his soul is also involved in these changes and is affected by them. These rites of passage, therefore, also involve the non-physical aspects of our nature, emotional, psychic, mental, intellectual, soul, ego, spirit, or higher self. However, the several cycles in man's life on earth and the rites of passage which herald them relate more specifically to the primary stages of man: birth, infancy, puberty, adolescence, maturity, marriage, and old age, death. Most societies have developed certain rites which are designed to help the individual's transition to the next stage of in his life, and also to assist society in its own recognition of this rite of passage, such as the 21st birthday, the engagement party, the wedding, etc. The problem with which we are now faced is that Western man has become increasingly alienated from God. He has a general lack of awareness of the sacred in life in general and aspects of his own nature in particular. As a consequence, it has led to an imbalance in the development of his whole being. It has led to an increasing incidence of neurosis, an alienation from aspects of his own identity as a person, and a general lack of meaning in his life. What rites we do have in modern society are often devoid of deep emotional or spiritual significance. They may emphasize the social, cultural, or political dynamics of an event, but they are often incomplete and lack the power to transform the individual in the way the rites of pre-modern man did. There are a variety of rites and passages to fit the cultural needs of people, and for Masons, The rites and ceremonies of craft masonry provide us with much that can no longer be found in other institutions in our society. Our lodge has become our house of meeting. To use Carl Jung's term, it is our modern-day equivalent to the men's house of the ancient Aborigines and the American Indians, where the adolescent of the tribe is initiated into the mysteries of nature and the tribe's religion, and where he becomes transformed into a man and adult. In many ways, masonry has become a major source for this transition to maturity, one which provides us with several initiations that reflect on the critical stages of a personal existence, as well as assist us in our preparation for them. Initiation changes, or ought to change, the behavior of the initiate, his attitude toward life, and the manner in which he relates to other people. Show me one Mason who has not been changed in some basic way by his initiation into our fraternity. The knowledge of our science, which is the science of living, is conveyed through a ritual drama, one in which the candidate plays the principal part. The external features such as the regalia, lighting, furnishings, color, incense, music, and special effects, together with the ritual itself, are designed to induce a psychological state in the candidate in which a deeper experience becomes possible. Information is thus conveyed in a most dramatic and effective manner, and the psycho-spiritual process of personal transformation begins. My own admission into the Knights Templar was such an experience, one of very few I have had at this deep level in Masonry. When we study the mysteries of ancient Egypt, Greece, Rome, or modern Freemasonry, we will find that the ritual of initiation also aims to help the candidate answer the five fundamental questions, questions which man has been asking since the dawn of consciousness. These questions are: who am I? Where do I come from? What am I doing here? Where am I? How can I transcend the limitations of this physical world so that I may work with the Creator and become more godlike? I leave it to you to decide whether the ceremonies of Masonry are successful in providing these answers to the questions. I have made these observations on the concept of rites of passage in order to show how it is really a synonym for the rites of initiation, a term we use in Freemasonry. I believe that in our case, these two terms refer to the same experiences of personal transformation, and that Freemasonry provides a source for some of them. When we look at Christianity, we recognize the story of Jesus, a psychodrama which demonstrates a series of necessary initiatory experiences crowned by the triumphant one. From a deeply mystical point of view, the underlying quest is that each Christian disciple, by following the footsteps of the Master Jesus, must also attempt this series of initiations in the course of his spiritual life. What is so significant with the advent of Christianity is that the mystery of the spiritual transmutation of the soul is no longer to be hidden, as in the preceding mystery religions, but is to be proclaimed from the housetops. It is no longer to be confined to a select group of disciples, but made available to all. Under the umbrella title of Freemasonry, the Knight Templar ritual is an example par excellence on the rite of passage, and I will try to convince you that this is so. Another ritual which has similar success is that of the Rose Cross, or the Rose Croix degree. When viewed superficially, Knight Templary is a ritual and a tradition which exhorts the candidate to lead a more godly life. But it does more than this. It is a ritual which points to and prepares the candidate for important stages in the life of a Christian knight in the Christ service. It can properly be called a rite of passage, as it outlines the transformation of the soul. The journey of the spiritual path begins when the soul thirsts for God. He is then presented with the opportunities for the service to the Master. The Knight Templar ritual then leads him to the point when the divine name, the Word of Life, is revealed, and the candidate becomes more closely identified with Him who is the Way, the Truth, and the Life. It seems to me that the Knight Templar ritual has telescoped these several stages of our journey through life into one ceremony, and as a consequence, much of the spiritual teaching and esoteric knowledge which the novice requires is not given to him in this ceremony. However, the candidate is directed to the one true source of divine wisdom, the Book of Gospels. As in the craft, the rest is up to the new member. If the ritual does nothing else, it provides him with both a foundation and a framework by which personal transformation and growth may be pursued in safety. The ceremony of making a knight is an excellent example of a rite of initiation. This view is supported by none other than G.E.W. Bridge, who is quoted in the booklet published by Great Priory in London. He writes, "It is quite unlike any ritual of any order anywhere else in the world. Analysis of this degree shows that it embodies almost all the features of a complete rite of initiation. tiling, proper preparation, ritual garments, pilgrimage, warfare, penance, death, rest, and refreshment, a new name, rebirth, enthronement, and proclamation, and the long journey home across the mystical Middle Sea. This is symbolism of a very high order, and it has survived the storms over 175 years. Of course, Bridge was referring specifically to the English ritual. What comes next in this article are a series of explanations regarding to the different stages of the Templar degrees. As I stated before, I will not be reading these. However, I will read the subtext for you. The next part is the Victorian ritual, followed by pilgrim, pilgrimage, obligation, investiture, warfare, penance, cup of memory, cubic stone, accolade, investiture, entrusted, installation and proclamation, symbols, statues of the candidate. And I will go ahead and read the conclusion of the article. My journey through the ceremony of making a Knight of the Temple has been very brief, and I have tried to avoid repeating what is already in the ritual. You can read that for yourself. As with all rituals and degrees of masonry, the Knight Templar has suffered from the hands of ignorant and foolish men. For example, there have been changes and emasculations of the ritual. There are elements in the continental and American versions of the Templar ritual which give sharper focus to the personal preparation and transformation of the candidate in particular. Other rites, such as the Rite of Strict Observance and its successors in the Swedish rite, seem to provide esoteric knowledge, which they claim was part of the original teachings of the order. On balance, I do agree with G.E.W. Bridge that however abbreviated some sections of our ritual may be today, it does embody most of the features of a complete rite of installation, of initiation, or rite of passage, and that its symbolism is of a very high order. What I also wish to say in conclusion is that the ritual of Knight Templar order is superior in many ways to that of the craft. I hold the view expressed by A.E. Waite in his writings on masonry that the craft ritual is primarily one which is a rite of death, whereas the Templar ritual is perhaps the best example of what we can call a rite of life. And again, that's from the Knight Templar magazine, October 2012, number 10. And if you'd like, you can read that whole article in its entirety by downloading the PDF directly from the app. I will have that hosted as an extra on the bonus features. This week's famous Freemason is Joseph Rudyard Kipling, born December 30th, 1865, and passed on January 18th, 1936. Born in Bombay, India, Rudyard Kipling was educated in England, returning to India in 1882. As a poet, author, and recipient of the Nobel Prize for Literature in 1907, he published over 80 stories and ballads. Most of his work celebrated the English Empire and its soldiers in India. Although only active Masonically for a few years, Freemasonry's effect can be noted in many of his works. His autobiography has a number of references to Freemasonry. He was initiated April 5, 1886, by dispensation, passed May 3, 1886, raised December 6, 1886. He demitted March 4, 1889, in Hope and Perseverance Lodge, number 782, Lahore, India. He then joined on July 8, 1909, in the Societa Rosicruciana in Anglia. He was an honorary member of Authors Lodge number 3456, Motherland Lodge number 3861, and was a founding member in January 1922 of the Builders of the Silent Cities Lodge number 12 in Omer, France. That's the end for this week. Find us on Facebook and follow on Twitter at Whence Came You. You can also find us on Tumblr and Pinterest as well, or even on Google Plus at the email address wcypodcast@gmail.com, which is also where you can email the show for anything at all. Please remember to vote for us on the Stitcher Smart Radio Awards. You can vote once every single day until the 18th. And to vote for us, check us out in the Best New Show or in the Best Educational and Learning category. Some people are voting for us in both, which is pretty cool. Feel free to share the videos that we put up just recently. Anyway, until next week, stay on the level. For Whence Came You, I'm Robert Johnson.